Welcome to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast for hormonal mamas who want to reclaim their own natural state of health to thrive and raise healthy kids. I'm Dr. Lisa Weeks, naturopathic doctor in Toronto, Canada. I'm a perimenopausal mama to my toddler named Stuart.
And I'm Dr. Toni Reed. I'm a naturopathic doctor, birth doula, and hypnobirthing educator in Calgary, Alberta. And I'm a perimenopausal mama to my little girl, Frankie. The information in this podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not meant to substitute professional medical advice. Always consult with your licensed healthcare provider.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Perimenopausal Mamas Podcast. I'm excited to be here with Dr. Toni, and today we're going to talk about a potentially missing piece to your health. We know that community medicine is the wave of the future, and we need connection, we need community for positive health outcomes. There are some like shocking statistics about loneliness. So loneliness and having weak social connections are associated with a reduction in lifespan similar to that caused by smoking 15 cigarettes a day. That's shocking, right? And it can shorten your lifespan by 8 years. When we do a health intake with patients, I'm starting to ask more and more, do they have connection? Do they feel isolated? Do they feel lonely? Because this not only will impact their health outcomes, but it will impact their ability to stick to their health habits. So we're really going to dive deep into community medicine, building up strong connections to have favorable outcomes to your health. And this is an area that is being studied. It's being studied over the last several decades more in depth. And there was a Harvard study that came out that showed that feelings of social isolation are on the rise. And those that are hardest hit are older teens and young adults. And we'll see in older adults, it's also a big issue as well. So throw in the pandemic, of course, kids aren't going to school or they weren't. Seniors were isolated in their homes or in their long-term care homes. And this study that was released, it was conducted October 2020, and it showed that 36% of respondents to a national survey of approximately 950 Americans reported feeling lonely frequently or almost all the time or all the time in the prior 4 weeks to that questionnaire, compared to 25% who recalled experiencing issues in the 2 months prior to the pandemic. So we know, and I think it's pretty obvious that those rates are going up. And the most striking statistic was, though, that 60% of those age 18 to 25 reported high levels. So the younger age group is being impacted. And one other shocking statistic too, so when they combine data from June from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, it showed that 63% of young people reported experiencing significant symptoms of depression and anxiety. So this is something we want to address in our healthcare, in our naturopathic practices, and in our day-to-day life. And Toni, I've been a part of several groups throughout my life so far, and I'm sure there'll be more. Do you want to share what you've been a part of and how that's impacted you positively before we get into some more examples of how to foster community and connection and help with health outcomes?
For sure. You know, we're social beings, you know, human beings, we really do thrive off of connection. And even though I kind of, you know, border between being an introvert and an extrovert, I really love connecting with other people in different ways. So and that's even where, you know, there's been a number and communities that I've been a part of. And thankfully, even with pandemic, I've been able to continue, you know, being connected as a community through, you know, seminars through Landmark Worldwide that I've talked about before, even connecting as a community while teaching my hypnobirthing childbirth education classes just makes a huge difference to, you know, get together in a group. And And I know, you know, even last year when you think back to, March of 2020, and, you know, some of the restrictions and the lockdown started to happen around the pandemic, I was scheduled to actually teach an in-person a group class for hypnobirthing, and, you know, just switched it to online, and was just so thankful that I could connect with those people every week. It really gave me a real sense of stability, connection, of being able to contribute, even with there was all this kind of uncertainty and kind of chaos, you know, around us with the pandemic of really, you know, things being, you know, there was a lot of upheaval happening. So that was really beneficial. And that's where, you know, being able to be a part of groups and really get together with people on a regular basis outside of work, outside of school for kids, I think it's just, again, so beneficial and so needed. And again, there's ways that that can be done online, Facebook groups, like, you know, we have our Perimenopausal Mamas Facebook group, different networking groups professionally that I've been a part of. I'm also really looking forward to, you know, being able to get together in person in a way that we haven't before. But again, thank goodness that there are those online groups, and online groups that can have, you know, a common goal. Even when there's online groups, and even though you're not in the same room, you're kind of in, you know, your own territory on your own turf. And even when you're feeling comfortable at home, it can be a way to connect with other people, but it actually, you know, takes something. You know, you really have to be still a little bit vulnerable, you know, have your camera on, really, you know, see other people's faces, but it can just make such a big difference. How about for you, Lisa?
Yeah, I think there's been like several major events that I then seeked out support through a group that really helped me through those times. And, you know, you don't have to be part of a group forever and ever to get the benefits. But I think when I became a new mom and I went back to work 2.5 months after Stuart was born, I was really navigating the mom guilt of working and trying to be there for Stuart. So I joined some online moms groups like Kate Northrup's Origin membership, Leanne Kim's Mamas & Co., the Mom Halo. So these were all great support systems where I could hear other moms going through similar challenges. It normalized my experience and then showed me that people got through this time where the identity shift was really happening from being, you know, a solopreneur to then trying to be a solopreneur and a mom and all the things. So that was one pivotal moment. And then when the pandemic hit, as a clinician, right, Tony, we were like, what do we do? Can we see patients? How do we shift and pivot virtually? I still had paper files at this point. I didn't even have online electronic medical records. I was a bit archaic in that respect. And there was an online support group for practitioners, clinician business labs, that really helped me get through that time. Megan was really great at Megan Walker about just coming on Facebook every day and just having a short little video to explain things we could do and then steps to take to shift our practice virtually. And, you know, I hardly missed a beat in practice, which was awesome. Yes, there was a lot of stress with the ramping up, but I saw how others were doing it. And I was learning the tools that I needed to implement to get through that time. And then looking at something, I felt like something was missing in my practice. I was doing, you know, I really enjoy being a naturopathic doctor and patients were having great outcomes, but there was something missing in terms of connection, community, accountability. And I came across the Wild Collective, which I'm now a facilitator for. I've run two groups so far, and I'm launching my third September, which is when this podcast will be released. And that was the missing piece to my practice, where it was an online, well, used to be in person, but right now an online community health initiative for females, where there's an educational piece where you're empowered to learn about your health, to be an advocate for your health and navigate the healthcare system, but as well as connect with other women to see what's worked for them, what hasn't worked for for them with regards to their health, and also to be accountable, to up-level your health through supporting each other. So that was another pivotal moment for me. And I'll be talking about that more at the end of the podcast. But we're going to talk about group programs in general and the benefits of those and how to foster community and connection. And when we think about groups, there's a lot of groups to help people reach a common goal, right? So big ones include Weight Watchers. I'm not saying join that, but you know, they have the common goal of losing weight. There's Alcoholics Anonymous. There's even just, you know, Peloton is really introduced a community component. I don't have a Peloton bike, but it seems that people compete against each other online. There is some community aspect to it. And then there's also a lot of programs for osteoporosis prevention, diabetes prevention that brings together people as well. And we're realizing these programs are really successful. Instead of just having a doctor say, do this, do that, and leaving the patient to go implement it, these programs are the missing piece where people can actually, you know, get the tools, learn the tools, and troubleshoot them if things come up that are challenging. So there's a great, great quote that I came across, and it is, being socially connected needs to be seen as much a part of a healthy lifestyle as eating right and exercising. So this was from Julianne Holt-Kunstad. She's a psychology professor at Brigham University. And she studied people that were lonely. They do have extended hospital stays. People that are lonely need more expensive treatments. They need more skilled nursing facilities instead of being able to have in-home rehabilitation. And then those that were socially isolated had a 50% higher risk of death. So these are some shocking numbers, right?
Absolutely. You know, you don't think about, I know even as a naturopathic doctor, I haven't thought about in general, you know, how my health is impacted by the social support structures that I have and the communities that I'm involved with and you know, how I connect with other people. But especially when you see some of these things and again, some other, you know, research being done on, you know, other negative outcomes of social isolation and loneliness, you know, like a lowered immunity, worse outcomes for cancer recovery, but even impacting, you know, cardiovascular health, a 29% increased risk for heart disease, 32% increased risk for stroke, 40% increased risk for Alzheimer's, and a 25% increased risk for cancer overall. You know, this is where, when we think about, you know, our self-care and how we take care of our health, we really do need to look at not just, you know, what you put in your body in terms of the food you eat, how much water you drink, how much, you know, exercise you get, but actually, you know, how much time you are spending with other people and, you know, whether that is satisfying how you feel in terms of isolation or loneliness.
Definitely. It's, you know, technology's been a blessing in some ways, and we can connect on Zoom and we can make that meaningful, or we can connect online. But it has also impacted people in terms of less social outings, like before the pandemic, I'm talking about less in person, maybe less authentic connections. We're working online more than ever. We're not getting out into the community and connecting with people as much. You know, we're not walking over to our coworker's desk and having a chat with them. We're just shooting them an email. So it's no wonder that people are feeling more and more disconnected, because we are supposed to, you know, have a village that helps raise the child. We are supposed to rely on, you know, family members, friends that live nearby, have regular get-togethers. And I, you know, I've seen the trend of that be lower and lower over time. I am grateful we have a great street that I live on. Everybody's really looking out for each other. We had, in-person get-togethers before the pandemic regularly, but it seemed to be an anomaly when I talked to a lot of my patients. They were just going to work, coming home, doing the same thing over and over, maybe not having that social connection with neighbors, friends, and families as much as possible. And then we do know too that when we get older, and loneliness still impacts us. So it impacts 25 to 60% of older Americans, and it's almost as prevalent as obesity. It puts millions of Americans, older Americans 50 and over, at risk of poor health from prolonged loneliness. And we know your connections at age 50 will predict your health status when you're 80 years old. So you want to start building your connection, your community now, because when you get older, it's a lot harder to reach out to people, whether it's physically, technologically wise, it might be a bit harder. So you really want to build up your community and connection right now. And then we do know too that things like things in our environment, things like being connected, like feeling gratitude and happiness, this can turn on or turn off certain genes too. That's called epigenetics. So we're realizing the impact that mental health has on the expression of the genes we may carry that could manifest as a specific disease or condition. So we know our genes aren't our fate 100%. We get to have some control over what may turn them on or off, and our mental emotional state is part of that as well.
So especially, you know, no matter kind of what the blueprint is for your health in terms of your genetics, this is where any kind of stress that you're experiencing in terms of social stress or isolation or loneliness can worsen your health overall, because it can impact already a predisposition to, you know, issues like cancer or heart disease or Alzheimer's. So it really is about looking at supporting our body's function in all different ways. And the more we can reduce some of that perceived social isolation and actual social isolation, that can really allow you your body to thrive better in terms of not just your physical well-being, but also your sleep, kind of your mental functioning, how your brain works, your executive functioning. When all of those are impacted by, you know, social isolation and loneliness, that's where it can contribute to kind of higher rates of morbidity and mortality. When we get older, you know, that happens, and that's what we're seeing in the research with older adults.
Definitely. And we do know as well, those that we surround ourselves with will impact our choices in regards to health. It will impact us keeping habits or not, right? So if your partner's up having, you know, alcohol while watching Netflix, pigging out on a bag of popcorn or chips, you're more likely going to do that as well. And we had an episode on the Four Tendencies by Gretchen Rubin, and it talked about how to, you know, stick to your health habits depending on what tendency you fall into. And we know there's a category called obligers, where they need to be accountable to somebody else to keep their health habit going. So if they want to work out, it's not enough for them to say, I'm going to work out 30 minutes a day and do it on their own. They need to sign up for that personal trainer or meet their friend at the gym, and they know their friend won't work out if they don't show up, so it will impact them. So that's building a community and connection to make habits be more successful in their outcome. And we do know things like your happiness levels, your weight, if you smoke or not, if you have a tendency for suicide, it is influenced by your community. And there are 3 degrees of happiness. So your happiness can increase by 15% if you have a happy friend, and a further 10% if their friend is happy. So someone you might not even know, their happiness could be influencing yours. I'm not saying drop those friends that are going through a tough time or suffer from mental health challenges, but you also want to have a curated group as well that's going to support you and lift you up as well. And then we do know happiness decreases by 9% if you have an unhappy friend, and a further 7% if their friend is unhappy. So I think that's pretty amazing, right, Tony? And I know I've taken on habits, you know, smoking in high school because my friends did, drinking in university because, well, I won't blame it on everybody else because it was my choice ultimately. But, you know, if I was hanging out with the non-drinkers or smokers, I'd be more likely to not engage in those habits.
Well, and this is really where we can really like harness this, like this result of peer pressure and kind of our response to peer pressure in our lives. And we can really make it a positive instead of a negative. And instead of, you know, starting smoking, it could be about quitting smoking, or it could be about taking on different aspects of your health. And so, and I think this really speaks to kind of the power of getting together in groups and in community and communities in an intentional way. You know, if you're really looking at something that's going to serve, you know, your life and make your life, you know, better, or you have certain goals that you want to kind of take on, the more you can have that encouragement and accountability from other people who are like-minded, or who are, you know, open to, you know, learning and growing in the same way that you are, that just makes it so much easier instead of just doing it all on your own, or you know, thinking that it just all has to come on your shoulders or be generated by your energy, which again can be tough as a mom. It can be hard to generate things on our own when we have a lot of things on our plate. So the more that you know, you can really thrive and be boosted by that kind of group energy, then it just makes it easier overall.
Definitely. And I've seen it firsthand with the WOG Collective. You know, it's a 10 module program where you're learning about different aspects of your health, whether it's digestion, detox, hormones, thyroid, etc. But after each module, there's a take home or a homework. So one of them is to drink more water. And as a group, we're accountable to each other. We post pictures in the Facebook group to show how we're getting in more water. And people were able to increase their intake, whereas before they're like, oh, I'm going to drink 2 liters a day. And they just didn't because they weren't being accountable. And then I offered an online program. It started during the pandemic too, because I thought this support was needed, but it's a 5-day sober, sugar-free reset challenge. So, and going through that program and seeing participants go through, they were really able to become aware of how much sugar they were ingesting, how to make healthier swaps, reduce the amount, or eliminate refined sugars totally, and even question their alcohol intake, look at the amounts, and sometimes cut it out completely as well. So there would be regular check-ins. You know, we would do a Zoom call every few days. There was a messaging feature. They could chat with me. So I found that to be really beneficial. Whereas in practice, some people are more of a self-starter, if you will. They say they're going to do something and they're going to do it. So that's called an upholder from the four tendencies. But a lot of people fall into this obliger tendency or other tendencies where they need answers, they need community and support to have successful health outcomes.
And we are seeing that from some of the research done on group programs that is, you know, becoming more and more prevalent. You know, there's, you know, even in, you know, the book, the Daniel Plan, that's where they really outlined how this a congregation, this church in California, got together, and it was thousands of people, I think 15,000 people got together and really learned new behaviors altogether, really helped each other to stick to them so that there was that accountability. And they were able to, you know, lose thousands of pounds. There's other kind of weight loss success groups, and even in the Look Ahead trial, which was a diabetes prevention lifestyle program that really had people really achieve a lot of great results in a way that isn't normally just seen with people, you know, taking on different programs on their own or again, trying to lose weight on their own. So it really does make a huge difference for a lot of people when there is that, again, kind of group support and you know, being able to see other people to do it as well and get that support and have that accountability.
Definitely. Yeah. With the Look Ahead trial for the diabetes prevention lifestyle program, they had regular meetings with small groups of 10 to 20 people. And they met 3 times a month for the first 6 months, 2 times a month between 6 months and a year, and 1 meeting per month up to 8 years after the study started. And they had favorable incomes. They had or outcomes. They had a reduction in their hemoglobin A1C, which is a marker of blood sugar levels. They had a 5 to 10 point drop in their blood pressure. They reported less depression, better mood. So these programs are working and it is a missing piece to our health. So how can we foster more connection and community in our everyday life? Should we move to that, Tony?
Absolutely. That's a really great question. Like, how do you look kind of beyond just, you know, what our health is, our physical health, our mental, emotional health, and instead look at, you know, how our environment, how our connections, how our social connections really impact us.
Yeah, I think a good starting place is to, or starting point is to look at what's a hobby that you used to love doing or that you think you'd love doing, and join an online community or in person when possible, or class to learn or foster that habit, right? So whether it's, okay, I want to learn how to knit, or I want to join a cooking or baking class, it might be online right now, or a gardening class, and finding people that have a similar interest to you and building that connection and community and learn from each other, then you have that recipe for, okay, we already have something in common that we can talk about. It skips over that small talk and the awkward silences in the beginning. And we have so many great resources, right? Whether it's through the YMCA, through senior centers online, they have so many great programs for seniors, through gyms, through yoga studios. If you want to get more active and physical, there's so many great supports there.
And, you know, if there are things that you're interested in learning or really kind of taking on in your life, sometimes, you know, different workshops that are, that do go on for, you know, a few different weeks can really allow you to make different connections with people that you wouldn't normally. And again, whether that's in terms of health or again, learning a different activity or even, you know, something like a book club can help that as well.
Definitely. So I see more and more book clubs. I saw Brené Brown had one online for her Gifts of Imperfection with her. She had several podcasts about it, diving deep into each chapter. I know the Mom Halo has a book club. So look around and see, and some may be meeting outside at a park right now, but that can be a really great way to build connection too. And some people are really good at being connected online. I'm not that great on Facebook and the groups that I'm part of. I'm like, oh, I'm online so much already, but some people really do feel connected in those forums. So if you're feeling safe, it's a group that there's positivity and acceptance and not judgment, then you can post, people will comment. We're really fostering our Facebook group. So feel free to post and share there. We're harboring a positive environment where we want to hear from you, where we want to support you, get ideas of what we can do to build up our community as well. And then we did mention Gretchen Rubin. So she talks about creating a habits accountability group. So let's say you want to start moving your body more. So you might call a few friends and say, okay, we're going to have a challenge. We all have to move 30 minutes a day. And at the end of the day, we're going to check in to see who's done it. So we'll text each other. We'll have a WhatsApp group or whatever form you want to use. But it can be as simple as that. You may have a reward at the end, like, oh, after we all walk, you know, 30 minutes a day or move 30 minutes a day. Okay, we're going to have an outing and we're all going to go stand up paddleboarding together or, you know, whatever you want that to look like. But reach out to those people that will help you reach those goals and who want to be on board with that as well.
And, you know, there's just so many different ways to look at, you know, fostering community and connection. It really is about, again, stepping out there, trying something different, trying something new, and, you know, looking at, you know, adding something else to your life as well.
Yeah, I'll have to plug the Wild Collective here, Tony, if that's okay.
Absolutely, because the Wild Collective can be just such a fantastic way as moms, as women, to really gain you know, some knowledge and really learn from each other as well.
Definitely. So I'm not the creator of the Wild Collective, but I'm a facilitator for the Wild Collective Toronto. It's virtual right now, so technically you don't have to be in Toronto, but it'll get back to in-person again. But this is a program created by Dr. Michelle Parrish. She's a naturopathic doctor in Oakville. It's been around, I think, for 5 or 6 years now. It's international and it is revolutionary. It's being offered in over 35, maybe even more now, clinics across North America. More and more naturopathic doctors are offering it to their patient base because it is a missing piece to healthcare that we're seeing over and over again. Women are up-leveling their health. They're becoming empowered about what they need to do to stay healthy, what tests they need to ask for, how do they navigate the healthcare system. And it also gives participants actionable items where they can have easy, doable homework and check in with each other and be accountable and build each other up, because it's a recipe for community and connection and an instruction manual for your body and your health. So we have different modules that we discuss about hormones, thyroid, detox, digestion, and more. And the relationships last even after the program is over. So I'm launching my third group now this September, which is when this podcast is coming out. And only 20 women are accepted because we want to maintain that intimacy. We want to have a chance for each woman to open up. There's time for each woman to share if they're comfortable doing. They can pass if they need to warm up to the group, but I haven't had that experience happen yet in the two groups that I've run. And I've seen that women really have benefited. So they've invited more play, purpose, and passion into their lives. They've worked on their relationships. They've detoxed from negative thoughts. Some have broke their sugar addiction. Some have changed or redefined their relationship with alcohol. So it's definitely something that I can't say enough about. And I really want every woman to get in on the action. I'll share one testimonial for you. So this was from Becca. She said, "My favorite part of the collective is the community created amongst the women there. There was almost an immediate feeling of safety and community that was created, and it makes each session something to look forward to. Hearing other women's experiences and thoughts really helps you work through your own thoughts and feelings. The info about our bodies is so insightful as well. In every session, I'm challenged to up my health game in both small and large areas." So what I'll do, we'll post in the show notes the link to the sign up for the info session and the wait list. So it's www.wildcollectivetoronto.com. Feel free to reach out to me on Instagram if you have any questions, but be sure to get on that list because spots are limited and this program is taking the naturopathic and clinical world by storm.
Such an amazing, valuable program that can just, again, give so much, again, compared to kind of the investment that you need to put into it. So thanks so much for sharing about that, Lisa.
My pleasure. Yeah, it's really benefited me as well. So it's really helped me to up-level my health and work on myself at a deeper level than I thought I would as well. So I don't have everything figured out and I learn as I go too. So thanks for that, Tony. And I love that you're doing the hypnobirthing, right? So you're building community and connection that way. Do you want to share a bit more about that?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, just with you saying that, you know, I, for sure, when I'm facilitating hypnobirthing classes and even, you know, one-on-one with patients too, I mean, there's so much that I learn from other people as well. So yeah, we don't always have all the answers. And I just really love being able to educate couples and really connect with them, you know, when they're in this really exciting journey, become parents for the first time or to grow their families. It's just such a pleasure to be able to, you know, really provide a place where people can learn more, really tap into the instincts in their bodies when it comes to birth, learn more about the hormones involved, and really how we can really kind of take charge of our labors and births. And my next information session will be, at the end of the month. So again, you can find more information about that at hypnobirthingcalgary.com.
That's such important work, Toni. That's awesome. And I'm sure a lot of the parents-to-be are connecting with others in the program and, you know, building relationships that help each other through those tough, you know, months or years or decades of being a parent.
Again, this is where it can be so great to, again, really connect with different groups and see what's out there, depending on where you are in the stage of your life and really what's important to you.
For sure. Well, I think we did a really good job of covering the benefits of building connection and really fostering a healthy habit. So should we dive into the next part of the podcast, Toni?
Absolutely, Lisa. Let's start to talk about our supermom moments and our mama mess ups.
Sure. So do you have a supermom moment to share this week, Toni?
You know, I do. And this was from, you know, earlier on in the summer, when you guys were enjoying our re-release episodes. I was able to enjoy some time alone I just thought it was a really fantastic super mom moment that I was actually really excited and not guilty or worried or stressed out about having Frankie go away with her daddy for 4 days on a road trip to go visit grandma.
What? Wow.
It was fantastic. It, like, at first it felt a little bit weird for them to just like leave and for me to be at home all by myself. But it was really fantastic. I really embraced that, that time to just, chill out. And I also got to connect with my mom a little bit. It was really lovely. And, I'm looking forward to the next time I can go away.
Amazing. I know, it should be like, what, every month or two. Okay. Long weekend by myself. Okay. Hopefully. But you needed that. You've been through so much with everything going on with the heat wave and the fires and the pandemic. And oh my gosh. So hopefully you get felt rejuvenated and rested during those days.
Yeah, it was really nice. And it hasn't necessarily been the easiest summer, you know, weather wise. And even right now, we're still experiencing some heat and smoke as we're recording. So it was nice to get a break that way. So how about you, Lisa? Now, I know you're an amazing mom. You just, who you are for Stewart and home life and everything. I know you just rock it, and still sometimes there can be a mama mess up.
Do you have I can't say I rock it all the time. Sometimes I did really mess up. So we had a good weekend because we took Friday off. We went to the cottage. So that was a super mom moment just to get away. And it was so relaxing, just so nice to be in nature. You know, we roasted marshmallows at 7:30 in the morning because of the fire ban, and doing it, you know, around sunset is too late for us. But so we did a lot of fun things. But Stuart used to get car sick when he was younger, especially when the car seat was facing backwards, but he's been good for the last few years. But before we left to come home yesterday, I gave him a snack because he hadn't eaten for a few hours. So I didn't time the snack properly for when the time we were leaving. And then in the car, I brought my lunch and I gave him a few cherry tomatoes and I thought, okay, he's fine. But then about an hour later, he's like, oh no, I'm going to puke. And he puked all over himself. Luckily, I had paper towels still from the days of when we anticipated he would throw up. So I caught it all. But the poor guy, he was, you know, not feeling so good for a few minutes. He was fine after it all came up. But I guess I got to remember not too much food before the car ride, and definitely not probably raw vegetables during the car ride. So that was my mama mess up.
Oh, poor guy. Hey, but you know, I guess a learning experience for you to recognize that it's still something that he's sensitive to.
For sure. Oh, we made it through. So still a great weekend, but anyway. Good.
Oh, I'm glad.
And then Tony, what's your mama must have?
My mama must have for this week is I just was able to read the book Breath by James Nestor. It's an amazing book that I think everyone should read. He's a science journalist. So it's just a really engaging book about how we breathe, you know, the impact of mouth breathing and how, you know, the benefits of nose breathing just outweigh us breathing through our mouths by so much, and, you know, how we've evolved to have the structure of our jaws and our mouths and orthodontics and all of that. And especially as someone who had braces when I was younger, I was just really interested in the fact that, you know, maybe we don't need to, you know, pull our teeth and get braces and that kind of thing, but there can be other ways to really impact our mouth health, our breath, our lung capacity, you know, asthma, anxiety. I was just really, really excited to read it and you know, can't wait to again dive more into the world of breathing. So you know, that's a hint. You guys might hear some more episodes about the benefits of breathing coming up in the future.
So simple but powerful. Yeah, that book blew me away. That was going to be one of my mama must-haves. I had two books listed, so luckily I had a backup. But yeah, it's so perfect. Cool just to think about how that could even shape our palate, influence our sinuses, you know, over time if we breathe through our nose, just like we think about erosion, you know, like winds and water changes and breaks down rocks. Well, how we breathe the air that's passing past our palate can influence the structure of that and then the size of our sinuses. So yeah, it's so amazing. So we definitely need to do an episode on breathing.
Absolutely.
So the other book that I was going to talk about was The Happiness Equation. I just started it by Neil Pasricha. And it's, I don't know if that's how you say his last name. I hope so. Sorry if Neil's listening. I doubt it. He's not a perimenopausal mama, but well, maybe, who knows. But so with that book, it's really breaking down actionable steps to just foster and improve your happiness, right? It's happiness can be a skill. And it's a lot of times we think about it as, okay, I'm going to be happy when I get that raise. I'm going to be happy when I lose the weight or when I get the promotion. But it's one of the tenets is, you know, be happy first. So look at what can make you happy right now, or what are you happy about right now? And then also looking at like what really struck with me was having a practice of gratitude, which I do, but there was an exercise where 20 minutes you write about an experience that was so enjoyable for you. And that actually helps you relive the experience. It can change your chemistry and your brain hormones so that you actually are in that moment again. So even just thinking about a happy event that happened in the past and really embodying it and being there in your mind can shift your happiness levels too. So I recommend it. I'm only partway through, but I'm already blown away. It's an easy read, but really inspiring. So we're both bookworms this week, huh, Tony?
We both love the books, Lisa. And Noah, maybe we'll just put a link to both of those books too, so that again, people can connect with them easily. And then the authors won't get upset with us if
that's right.
Spell their names wrong or say their names wrong.
Exactly.
But yeah, two really fantastic books for you guys to check out. So thanks so much for joining us today, everyone. We hope you enjoyed this episode. You can find our show notes at perimenopausalmamas.com. Again, you can connect with us on Facebook or Instagram. We would love for you to subscribe. And especially if you enjoyed this episode today, you know, leave us a 5-star review. That really helps other perimenopausal mamas find us as well. So thanks again. We'll see you soon. Stay safe and healthy, everyone.
Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.